Welcome to installment 327 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, continuing our discussion of the laws of testimony. Prohibition number 285 is the prohibition against a person giving false testimony in a case or edus sheker. This commandment is one of the Ten Commandments, and therefore is brought twice in the Chumash. Once, when the Ten Commandments were said, the first time in Parshas Yisrei in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13, and a second time in Beschanan in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 17. Although it is repeated, there is a slight difference between the expression in both places. In the book of Exodus, the verse states, Leisana v'reyacha et shaker. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. And the expression is slightly different in Deuteronomy 8, shav, also meaning false. In the Rambam's legal code, he describes this prohibition and gives an example, such as a person who gives testimony about something he really did not see. In order for a witness to give testimony in Jewish law, he must have directly witnessed the event that he is testifying about. Should he be told about it only, even though if it was from a perfectly reliable source, an unimpeachable source, nevertheless, he is forbidden from testifying about it. Only when he sees it can he testify. Even should the event be true, should he testify without having seen it, he is violating this prohibition against giving false testimony. That since he is not a witness, his testimony is false, or the event might be true. Interestingly enough, here in Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam adds another dimension to this biblical prohibition. As we will see in tomorrow's commandment, the last one in the laws of testimony, there is something known as Edim Zaymimin. These are witnesses who are determined to have issued false testimony. How can we be certain they issued false testimony if one set of witnesses said a certain event did happen, and another set of witnesses said it did not happen? We have here Makhishes, two sets of witnesses who contradict one another, and we cannot be sure which set is true. Edim Zaymimin is a case where we know for sure one set is lying, and the reason is not because they testify differently, but the second pair says, how can you testify about such a case? At that time, you were with us in another place. For example, witnesses could say that they saw a certain murder take place in Paris. Other witnesses come along and say, how could you testify such a thing? On that particular day, at that particular time, we saw you in London. In this case, they are not merely contradicting the testimony, saying that the first pair said that the murder did occur in Paris, and the other set says it did not occur. Rather, they are invalidating these witnesses altogether. They are saying that it is impossible you could say anything about this case, since you were at a different place at that particular time. The law of the Torah is that if witnesses should be found to be Zaymimin, should have been found to have issued such testimony, the law of the Torah is whatever punishment would have been inflicted upon a defendant is instead inflicted upon them. So if, for example, they were testifying in a capital case and claim that one person killed another, and they are found to be Edim Zaymimin, the law is that the witnesses are instead put to death, and the person, of course, goes free. If they intended to inflict a punishment of lashes upon a defendant, and they were found to have been in a different place at that time, then the witnesses are given lashes. And should their testimony have affected a financial loss to the defendant, in this case, they must make up for the financial loss. This is the general law of Edim Zaymimin, and the Rambam discusses it more fully in Positive Commandment 180 from tomorrow's Shir, and also we will discuss it, God willing, in more detail. We find here, although that there is a positive commandment to punish the Edim Zaymimin, over here the Rambam, interestingly enough, looks at this positive commandment as the punishment for our prohibition number 285. As the Rambam, after bringing this prohibition that one may not issue false testimony, the Rambam says that the punishment for this is, as the verse says in Deuteronomy 19:19, we do to these witnesses as they wanted to do to their neighbor. And as the Rambam also quotes the Mechilta, brings a proof for this. that's a verse which states, V'leisan avreicha, eid shaker, one must not issue false testimony against one's neighbor, is a prohibition against eidim zeinamin, that one is not allowed to issue false testimony. And the punishment for them is to have whatever punishment they try to inflict on the defendant should be inflicted upon them. So we see that aside from the prohibition, the punishment of the prohibition is itself a positive commandment. As we see similar cases in the laws of capital punishment, as the Rambam explains, that just as we have certain cases where a person is chayev skila, is punished to death by stoning, the punishment for the prohibition is itself a positive commandment. There is a positive commandment to put someone to death by stoning in the appropriate cases. And so too here, the prohibition against false testimony is punished by issuing whatever would have normally been done to the defendant. This is itself a positive commandment, as we will learn, God willing, tomorrow in positive commandment number 180. It is also possible, that Rambam says, that a person could get lashes for any case of false testimony, as this is, as well as all the details of this law are explained at the end of the tractate Makos. What is so special about the prohibition against false testimony that merits its inclusion in the Ten Commandments? Various explanations are given. One of them is that the prohibition against false testimony is one of the foundations of civilization in the world. Should there not be such a prohibition, and witnesses would constantly give false testimony, there would be no justice left in the world. The ownership of property would disappear, and people would be able to get away with all sorts of misdeeds. This is the actual foundation of justice, that one can rely that a witness is giving proper testimony. Furthermore, says Rabbi Nachman Bavli, that a person that issues false testimony is kafir be'ikir, is in reality rejecting Hashem. And the reason is that in every judgment, Hashem sits together with the judges, and he supports them in their judgment. And should the witness lie before the judges, he is in reality lying to Hashem. Therefore, he is rejecting not only the standards of justice in the world, but directly attacking the authority of Hashem in the world. And this is therefore compared with the first of the Ten Commandments, that the belief in Hashem and the denial of idol worship are the fundamentals of all Jewish belief. And so too, the prohibition against false testimony, in that false testimony indicates a rejection and rebellion against Hashem, are also part of this foundation of Jewish law. A further explanation is given in that the Ten Commandments correspond to the Ten Utterances which Hashem used to create the world. This particular one corresponds to the utterance of Hashem, Nase Odim Betzalmenu Kidmusenu, that Hashem said, let us create, speaking to the angels, let us create man in our image and our form. What is the connection between a false witness and person, man in God's image? The Medrash says that when a person issues false testimony against another person, he is in reality issuing false testimony against Hashem. That since the person was created in Hashem's image, one must be careful to treat the other person as carefully as he would treat Hashem. Should he give false testimony, it is as if he is hoyed sheker l'mayla. He is giving false testimony against Hashem. That, of course, is something a person would certainly not do. Therefore, through violating the prohibition against false testimony, the person is, in a way, being mevatel, he is nullifying one of the Ten Utterances, the utterance that man is made in the image of God, since he is denying this utterance by issuing false testimony. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor this year, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.